Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 43. English sucks. No one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Cause no one really cares about the guy on the bottom. No one really cares about the guy beneath. And everybody wants to be down with the dude on top of the stairs. Top of the stairs. Little brother, look around. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 43, recorded on February the 10th. 2016, brought to you by the Happy Hour Network and RayRay.net. I am your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, also known as RayRay. You guys know me as the NBA blogger behind the NoLookPass.com, so naturally, you'll get a lot of NBA basketball talk in this podcast. But really, I talk about whatever I want in this show because RayRay is fundamental and you don't need a library card to check me out. Yeah, normally that's my closing line, but the podcast is always trying to find the best format possible. It's hard to get guests all the time, but it's not hard to come up with topics. So this time around, I have no guests, but Adam Jacoby does join me to talk about stuff. He has some sort of problem on how to say a certain term because the English language is terrible, so we go over that. We also go over the weird media structure for athletes. We talk about All-Star Weekend, NBA All-Star Weekend that is, and we talk about erotica novels. Yeah, we do talk about erotica novels. You didn't know that, right? And come on, you haven't heard this podcast before? We talk about erotica novels. And if you haven't heard this podcast, I recommend you to go back to the archives of RayRay.net or your iTunes subscription to RayRay is Fundamental and listen to episodes 3 and 19. We really go over erotica novels. Believe me, it's sexy. Anyway, before we go to this talk, speaking of iTunes, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show on RayRay.net and Stitcher. And you can find the show being syndicated at the Happy Hour Network. So, that's all I got. Let's go to this talk. Scratch! Ray Ray is Fundamental, episode 43, recorded on February 10, 2016. And most of the time, I am joined by my co-host, Adam Jacoby. What's up?
Not much. Okay. You called me in the middle of a crisis.
Okay.
So here's the situation. Here's a little bit of background. I have a pretty substantial amount of leftovers in my fridge, and I need to get rid of them in the next 3 days because I'm going to go house sit for a week, right? Mm-hmm. So like one, that means that I have to eat leftovers for dinner, even though I really want tacos. Right. And so I was trying to, convey the dire situation, the crisis on social media. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I was going to say, oh, I've got too many leftovers. Cause that's what, you know, leftovers is a plural. It's a plural thing. And so, oh, well, I've got too many, but it's not that I have like too many different dishes. Mm-hmm. Right, there's only like it's chili in a quinoa casserole. Right, so it's only two, but like there are several meals in between them. Uh-huh. So it's a matter of volume, not of quantity. So, but I can't say like, so it feels like the correct term should be I have too much leftovers, but nobody ever says too much leftovers. Like if you Google it, it'd be like, are you drunk? You know? So, but like, and so I asked Twitter and everybody on Twitter was like, oh, well, just change the words. Like say, oh, I have too much leftover food. I'm not asking about too much leftover food or, you uh-huh. know, the term leftover food. I'm asking about the term leftovers, like the one singular word that we always use. We always say leftovers. Mm-hmm. How do I express too much of the leftovers? How do I do that? So this is my crisis, and I'm trying to uh-huh. talk it out, and I don't know how to answer that question.
My first instinct is too many leftovers. That's my first instinct.
Right. It rolls off the tongue.
Yes.
It's a familiar phrase, but
at the same time, it doesn't sound correct.
Exactly. Like I can't say I have seven leftovers. Like, you, no, you can't count your leftovers. So why do you say I have too many leftovers if you don't, if you never count them? Oh, things are good. I've only got one leftover in the fridge. No, that's not a thing. There's no such thing as a single leftover.
No, I never thought about this before.
This is my concern here. And I don't have an answer to it. And
the English language is weird, okay?
It is weird.
It really is.
Weird.
Like, okay, it is our first language, but at the same time, like, looking at this, like, it's so complicated,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, how come the plural of mouse is mice, but the plural of house is houses? What's the difference here?
That's true. That's true.
Right?
You don't go out there and you don't buy heists.
Yes.
That would be weird.
That would be weird. And why is fish just, the plural is fish, technically it's fish.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we say fishes?
Right. And why can't we say mouses? Mouses seems like a perfectly fine word.
It really is. Why is it changed to some kind of weird word like mice?
And it's not like, as an animal, it's not like mice deserve it. They don't, what did they ever do? Right?
Exactly. Yeah, so, too many leftovers, too much left, yeah, nobody says too much leftovers ever.
No, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
But you also can't have one leftover, so why would it be too many leftovers?
Right. We are writers by trade, Adam, mm-hmm. and we don't even know how to solve this.
Right. I think this is how black holes get ripped. we might be in some dangerous territory right now.
I know, exactly. Oh man, so. Now you're gonna get me thinking about this for the rest of the night, mm-hmm. or the rest of the week, really, mm-hmm. because this sounds all so complicated.
It is, man, I'm telling you.
I know. What was the answer you got the most?
Change the wording. It's, you know, just cop-out answers. Like I never thought of that. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Give me some credit here. No,
exactly.
I'm trying to get to the bottom of this mystery.
Yeah.
And, oh, so, I think the second place answer I got was, no such thing as too many leftovers, ha ha ha, food's good.
Aha!
No,
so funny.
I have a very specific leftover situation that is precluding my tacos. I have too much many leftovers for tacos.
Yeah. Well, I guess, I mean, yeah, changing the wording, I guess, sounds like the most, I don't know, the best solution.
Cop out.
Yeah, it is a cop out, though. A lot of leftovers. Like, yeah, I get that. Mm. But it's either too much or too many.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. Did you do the Google machine? And what'd you come up with?
No, I'm not going to Google it. Google's not going to... Like, we're beyond Google here.
Okay.
This is an existential crisis. Google doesn't help with those. Google's just like, here, I found web pages. No.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Oh, man. See, because we say, like, for the safety of other items, like, too many tacos, too many items.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
But then we can come up with a number for that.
Right. Or I have too much cholesterol. I don't know what my cholesterol situation is. But you would never say I have too many cholesterol, even though they do, like, they measure it. You can measure that.
Yeah.
But this is a different volume thing. But since some joker decided to make it a plural, even though singular is not a thing, we're in this.
Yeah.
We got a broken system, Ray.
I know.
Oh.
The English language is so complicated.
We gotta tear this all down.
I don't know.
We need anarchy.
This might take all night if we do this.
It really might.
Yeah. Yeah, so I forgot what I was going to talk about now, because now you've got me thinking about this whole too many, too much leftover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Well, here's... Yeah, I'm sorry for derailing your train of thought.
No, it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. But here's a situation that derailed my train of thought earlier today. All right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was at the coffee house. I was enjoying a caramel cream latte at the Java House, and it was excellent. I'm sure it was really healthy too. But I was getting some good writing done.
Right.
Good writing and research done, and so I'm working there. I'm a little bit caffeinated, and you know, coffee houses are busy, noisy mm-hmm. places. But I'm still getting my work done. Mm-hmm. You know, it sort of comes with the territory. And then some guy, an older gentleman, white-haired, sits down a few seats away from me. And and he starts, like, okay, now I have another question about the English language. Like, you know a sniffle? Like,
yes. Yeah.
What's the level above that? Where you're just, like, snorting gallons of snot, like, back into your sinuses. What do you call that?
I don't know, snorting?
I don't know. Yeah, but, like, you snort drugs, not your own snot.
That's true.
Yeah, so, like, so he starts doing that, like, every 5 minutes. And I get it. You know, it's winter, and people get runny noses and colds and stuff in winter. I get that. But, like, if I also get that you have to get out of the house, like, just to do anything. Because, you know, again, it's winter and cabin fever is a real thing. I get that. But, like, if your nose is betraying you to that
point,
like, don't go where there's a ton of other people who are going to be able to hear you.
Yeah. It's not only running, but it's sprinting.
Right. And you're just, like, making the worst, like, bodily noises that don't involve a butt. Like, don't subject other people to that. And so it got to the point where I could not concentrate at all. Mm-hmm. Like, I was 30 minutes had gone past, and all I'm thinking of is, like, what do I call that noise? Why is he still making it? Does he not realize what he's doing to everybody around? Like, that's all that my brain was going on. And, like, if it wasn't that, it was just, like, anger static in my brain. Like, that's what anger sounds like.
Thing is, you didn't get sick.
Well, that remains to be seen. Like, if that was only, like, 5 hours ago.
Oh, really? Oh, I thought it was, like, a few days ago.
No. This was earlier today.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We'll see. but again, like this, I can't concentrate when that's going on. It's rude. Uh-huh. I don't know why you would do that. Like, go to I guess a park isn't going to be any better if you've got a runny nose because you're still in the cold. But, like, man, don't do that.
Or you could stay home.
Right.
It's okay to stay home for, like, an extra day if you're, like, feeling all sickly and snorty and whatever.
But don't you get self-conscious about making, like, body noises, like, like even, like, blowing your nose? Like, I never blow my nose in public because I'm like, I don't want people to know that my body produces boogers. I don't want people
all
to know
that. All the time. And sometimes when it's like you're about to rip one out, I try to hold that as long as possible, or at least make it silent. I don't want to hear it.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's embarrassing.
I don't want people to know. I want them to believe, like, this is the man whose body doesn't produce anything. Like, I'm sure everybody believes that. But, you know, like, I am comfortable in my self-consciousness about this. And I know that that's a weird thing to be comfortable in. But I'm saying, like, I think you have to be, like, gracious enough to not subject other people to that. And I don't trust anybody who's not.
Exactly. I mean, you don't go around farting in public, right? I mean, come on.
No.
Yeah, exactly. Unless you want to piss people off.
I feel like someone, like, legally, if you rip one in public, minimum one punch. Not to the head, but, like...
To the arm or something,
middle
right?
Middle back, if it really reeks.
Yikes. Yeah.
Sand.
Well, yeah. You don't have to have someone hear it. Like, it could be silencers, right?
Well, then you get into these witch hunts, and the worst thing is when, like, you're like, oh, I can't believe anybody would do that, and then they, like, sort of figure out that it was you, and then you're the lying farter, and that's even worse.
Yeah.
That gets into punch you in the ear territory. I'm saying.
Yeah, so many things bothering you today. Wow.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's been a weird day.
This is Lana Berry from The Lana Berry Show with Lana Berry, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, and Adam Jacoby is a terrible person.
Yeah, Jackie and I'm starting this off. The Rams get down so nobody scoffs. And don't you worry, cause the Rams are rapping. When game time comes, really bad to that. We can't sing and our dance is not pretty, but we'll do our best for the team and the city. So get on your feet and clap your hands. Let's ram it right now with the LA Rams.
Hollywood Hanson, Dodge City Tough. If you throw it my way, it's gonna get rough. I like to ram it, as you can see. Nobody likes ramming any more than me.
They call me Zeta, nobody dresses sweeter. But under this cool is a quarterback mistreater. I come from the end, looking for the sack. I don't stop coming till I put them on the back. This limousine with it, my moves are like dreams. They call me the demon on special teams. I know how to rock from the toes to the head. When I pull the trigger, I'll knock you dead.
I'm a mountain man from West VA. They call me Herc and I came to play. I learned long ago to ram it just right. You can ram it all day and ram it all night. Ram it.
I was in a discussion with a reporter. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say his name because I'll probably have him on the podcast soon anyway. But the structure between media and players, I think, is weird because of the whole Cam Newton thing. Mm-hmm. Because I mentioned that it's like, hey, how come they're not getting any cool down time, basically, right? After a big loss and whatever. Right. I think the structure is weird. Don't you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And I get the. You know, the dynamic, like, you know, reporters want to get their quotes as soon as possible so they can get their, you know, their stories up as soon as possible. It was different in a pre-digital age.
Yeah.
But even then there were still deadlines and, mm-hmm. you know, if anything, they might have even been, a lot stricter than they are now. But, you know, still the point is to get all this done as quickly as possible. And reporters, you know, this is their job, and they necessarily feel entitled to the sort of access, because otherwise, you know, what the heck are they doing there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, if somebody doesn't want to talk, it doesn't mean that they are morally deficient.
Right.
It's like, man, now's not the time, and I'm really, really upset. And,
yeah.
And I feel like the people who had... The worst things to say about Cam, you know, I'm not going to ascribe it all to ulterior prejudices, because I don't think it's all that. I think that a significant part, and more of it than, you know, Cam defenders, you know, most Cam defenders acknowledge, is just a whole lot of people saying, hey, my job here, you know, come on, man. And sort of taking it, you know, sort of personally that way. So I think that has a big part of it. But at the same time, you know, you just want to say, well, just write your story without, you know, an exact quote from Cam. Just say, Cam didn't want to talk to reporters afterwards. Just say that. That's fine. Well, you didn't do your job. They'll be like,
right.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cam didn't give quotes. I saw that. Yeah, I understand.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's some intransigency on the part of reporters that and really if I've never seen a profession where, you know, the people doing the job are like, oh, this person didn't answer this, oh, this person, you know, they didn't stand up to scrutiny. Mm-hmm. But they're notoriously thin-skinned when you turn it around on them.
Yeah.
And say, like, hey, this wasn't really cool. Oh, well, you know.
Yeah.
And then that turns into a whole different discussion and situation, and pretty soon it's just everybody sniffing their own butts. I've been there. I've been in that environment, a whole lot of butt sniffing.
Yes.
And a whole lot of people... who enjoy talking about themselves because it's what they know best, you know.
Right.
But yeah, it's a weird situation, and I think one where both sides, including Cam, sort of need to be more thoughtful of what the other side needs. That's all.
Yeah. And people say, yeah, it's part of the job, but I don't know. I'm just being human. Like,
yeah.
If I was in a competitive, like, Mario Kart game, you know, really competitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
I probably wouldn't want to talk to you after, like, you know, 20 minutes if I lost really badly or something. I don't know. But I'm just saying.
Let me ask you something. How many controllers have you broken because you lost a video game?
Oh, when I was, like, 12, probably.
Because for me, it's plural.
Yeah.
And that's a video game in my basement.
Yeah. I have too many leftover controllers still, though. I've probably broken about two or three when I was 12.
Right, right.
In construction, yeah, you know?
So, like, so, it, yeah, it happens. And then also at the same time, here, like, it's not that Cam didn't show up.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, he fulfilled his obligation. He was there. It's just that he didn't have a whole lot to say, and what he did have to say, you know, he said it. It might not have been good enough, you know, for reporters' expectations, but, you know, that's a them problem, not a Cam problem, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get it, but in face value, Cam was being unprofessional in this structure. I get that, you know? And I get that the reporters really work hard on their craft. And we're part of the media, so we get it, you know? Kind of, yeah. But I'm just saying, like, I just think the structure is so weird. That's all I'm saying, you know?
Yeah, it, like, and the press conference is sort of an antiquated institution on top of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, anymore it's, well, I mean, I don't get why people complain about the talk about structure because it's not an actual question. Yeah, it's, so, you know, like these people have, they already know what stories they're going to write. And so they want details on a certain thing. Like phrasing it in the form of a question is like, why is that the thing you care about? Anyway, I think that's the dumbest thing to care about ever. But like, you know, you don't have to do that in front of cameras, you know, that whole Kabuki theater. Just like go do it in the locker room. Go take care of it there. But you know, you don't have to gather everybody, you know, televise it. And especially when these athletes are so conditioned to say the same five things over and over and over.
It seems so robotic, doesn't it? That's why I prefer, like, interviewing athletes, like, outside the games.
Right.
I prefer that much more than being at the site itself and interviewing them and asking them the same old Q&A, basically, right?
Oh. Yeah. Did you guys try really hard? Well, yeah, we decided to try really hard, and then we won the game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk about how you came from behind in the third quarter. Well, we just really worked hard on our defense, and then we took control, and then that was good. Okay.
That's why Popovich sometimes cracks me up, because it's like, that's what they're basically saying. It's like, so what did you like about the first quarter? Oh.
The points?
They scored more points than us. You know, I mean, that's what it is, really. Like, Pop broke it down like that. Like, that's what we're saying, you know? They're ahead and we're behind, you know. So it's really weird. And again, I'm not taking anything away from the reporters. I mean, that's just how the job is.
Yeah, but it's a dumb job, and it's not noble. You know, if this is what it comes down to, like, do you really want praise for this? Like, come on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So now every reporter's gonna hate us now for saying it's a dumb job.
Well,
nah.
Then they should do better.
All right, so because sometimes when our good friend Zach Harper comes on, there we read some very sexy erotica novels.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Yeah. So apparently now Cam Newton, there's something about Cam Newton now, like a Cam Newton erotica novel going on.
Well, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's something about dabbing. I forgot. I think it's like dabbing with Cam.
Yeah,
or something
that sounds right.
Yeah.
Which. It's not a sexy dance.
It's not.
And dab doesn't mean anything else. It's not like you can dab your man parts or lady parts. It's not a thing. It's not.
You're putting your arm over your face.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, sticking your other arm out in the air.
Yes. That, I don't know. Like,
it looks like you're sneezing into the crick of your arm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
like
not
you're
sexy.
You're about to snort out something, you know? You're about to make some noise out in public that'll get you punched in the lower back.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Or something.
That's right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess one day we'll read it. We did read you missed out last year when we read the Gronkowski's erotica novel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
a Gronk
one day.
To remember. Yes.
Gronk to remember, yes. One day we will read the Dabbing with Cam thing whenever Harper is available. So
I did see somebody complaining, and I'm not making this up, that Dabbing with Cam Newton or whatever it's called, but I think it's that, or just dabbing with Cam, or anyway, I did see somebody complain that it was only 45 pages, and I get that is technically short, by erotica standards. Like if you go to your half price bookstore and you decide to check out the Harlequin romance area, that you're going to be closer to the 100-150 page mark. You know, I get that. But have you ever tried to write 45 pages of anything in the world ever? And like, so, about anything, it's tough enough. But then, like, try to make it like 45 pages, like describing, like intimate, you know, interpersonal acts. And like, I thought about it, and I think I would be able to get about 6 paragraphs, and then it'd be like, and then he touched your boobs, and they were good boobs. And then, like, then what? You know, like,
how can we keep a straight face writing this too? Like, I admire those people that try to write something about interpersonal and intimate acts.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that's so noble, not noble. That's so tough.
It's admirable.
Yeah, admirable. Yeah, it's really tough. Like, I can't keep a straight face even talking about it.
No.
Writing about it.
I would be like, overtly trying to make it ridiculous within like 100 words,
right?
Like, exactly. Like I would maybe put eagle wings on the man's member because why not? You know, let's go somewhere new with this.
Exactly. Like you could barely keep a straight face when we were doing the Teen Mama.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly. So for someone to get like 45 pages out of, you know, Cam Newton doing the sex with them. Bravo, or I guess brava, because I'm guessing it's a hetero romance thing.
Yeah,
but like, well done. Seriously, I admire all of that.
You managed to keep dabbing sexual for 45 pages.
That is a feat.
It really is. It really is. I can't even think of dabbing as like a sexual thing. Like, I don't know.
Like once.
Exactly. So, yeah. People are weird. Like, they have such imaginations, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, because people don't know this, but we recorded an episode that is not going to go public because the audio was so horrible.
We had audio problems.
We had audio problems, but we read Dinosaur Erotica.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, that's rough.
Like, That's the level of ridiculousness that like my brain would like automatically wander to quickly.
Yeah.
But even then, like, they did a better job of it than I would be able to. And it was literally dinosaur erotica.
Yeah. Like literally. Like I woman and a beast. God, I can't even say anything. But yeah, like people have these wild imaginations. And there, some people even made a series out of it.
A series.
Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah. A series. Like, didn't you look up some authors that, like, would write, like, 3 or 4 books about this sort of thing?
Yeah, like, they were college roommates, as I recall.
Yeah.
Which, like, the conversations as they started to, like, get to know each other must have been incredible. You know, they're sort of feeling out, like, okay, just how weird is this lady? Oh my god, she's as weird as I am. Oh my god, we're both weird. Oh my god, this is incredible.
Yes, let's go write some dinosaur erotica.
Yes.
And then I wonder
that somebody would like throw that out as a possibility, and then this person that you've just been randomly assigned to a room with is like, yes, I'm in. Like,
yes.
That is the universe grinning upon you.
I wonder if they get into their real relationships. You know, and they're like, they'll probably ask their boyfriends, hey, can you do this like a pterodactyl?
can I get a little bit of a, wait, where are you going?
Can you scream like a Tyrannosaurus? Can you do this, please?
Honey, I need you to keep your shirt on, hear me out, and then tuck your arms into the sleeves. And then let's do this. Can you at least drive me home?
Please crawl all over me like a saber-toothed tiger.
You know?
Like I don't know. Like
mangle me with your fangs. What? No, this is hot. This is hot. Trust me.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, That's gotta be really, really strange. I mean, that's their thing. Fine. You know, I'm not gonna be too judgmental about
it. No!
But wow. Yeah, exactly. Like, they must have some kind of weird imaginations going on. Mm-hmm.
Listeners left at this point.
Yeah, right. So,
bye.
Okay, so I think bottom line, I think the media player structure post-game is weird.
That's right. That's where we're going with this.
Yeah, and it's almost as weird as dinosaur and human interpersonal relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where we're going.
And leftovers.
Okay, so the All-Star Weekend is coming up. This is our last podcast for the All-Star Weekend. So everyone have fun in Toronto. I can't go because it's my mom's birthday. So does All-Star Weekend like still interest you as much as it did like back in the day?
Well, I mean, not as much, but you know, back in the day there was at least some novelty to it. Still, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I get that. I get that All-Star Weekend isn't really for 30-year-olds, like you know, 30-somethings like us. But like to teenagers, it's the coolest stuff in the world. You know, we grew up, you know, quote, grew up, watching, like, Vince Carter and you know, Michael Jordan being like, oh my God. But, you know, since we've seen that, now, you know, we're in the sort of the Zach LaVine, Dwight Howard era, and it's like, But, like, if you're 17 and Zach LaVine is doing the things that he's doing, And you were like six when Vince Carter was doing all that, and so like you never got to experience it live. If like Zach LaVine's the first like freak of nature that you've watched in these things, you're gonna be like, holy balls, this is amazing. And so like, the novelty's worn off for me, but that doesn't mean that the novelty's worn off of the event. It just means that I'm old. So, I think it's a really cool event for, you know, for people who are still, like, developing their basketball enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And so, like, but mine's already here. It's great and happy. And so, like, I'm not going to watch the All-Star game. I can't remember the last NBA All-Star game, or really any major sport All-Star game that I've watched for more than, like, 10 minutes out of. Because, you know, if they're not going to try super hard in it, I don't know why I should, like, devote my entire evening to, you know what I mean? Because they're just screwing around. And so, like, I'll watch them for 10 minutes while they screw around. That's fine. More power to them. But, like,
you know, it's weird because every year I'm like, I don't really want to watch the All-Star game. I'll just watch it for, like, 10 minutes and I end up watching the whole thing anyway.
That's fine. Sure.
Yeah, that's what happens to me, you know? But I obviously look forward more to the All-Star Saturday event. Not so much on Rising Stars. Like, I don't know. There's just like...
You don't like that because I get something out of that.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, because it's fun. Especially the players that, like, don't make it onto TNT every night. Because, like, I don't get regional... Like, the only regional team that I get to see here in the middle of Iowa is the Bulls. Mm-hmm. Once I move back to Des Moines, I'll be able to get, like, T-Wolves games, and that's going to be fun. Like, they'll be fun to watch. But, like, right now, I never get to watch them live, and so, like, that's one of my few opportunities to see, like, Wiggins. Or even, you know, I guess Anthony Bennett's not going to be in that game. But, like, you know what I mean? Like, that sort of group of talent. And so, you know, much less... However, like Anthony Davis, I don't even get to watch Anthony Davis that much. And so, you know, that was a good opportunity when he was in that game. Like, it helps a viewer like me, especially one who's sort of casual. And Porzingis is going to be in it this year, right?
Right.
Yeah. He's
really
fun. Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Maybe because it was on a bad night for me. Like, Friday night. Like, I'd rather be out than, I mean, that's not really usually the case, but like,
but
I'd rather be out on Friday night, you know? So, I mean, but I really can't remember the last time I watched the entire thing, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, at least on Rising Stars. But, let's talk about All-Star Saturday. This is the first time ever I'm interested in a skills challenge because they have big guys in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun. That's going to be so fun. So the participants are Patrick Beverley, DeMarcus Cousins, Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, CJ McCollum, Karl Anthony Towns, Isaiah Thomas, and Jordan Clarkson. I don't particularly care who wins, but I'm rooting for DeMarcus.
It's going to be, because one, I think DeMarcus is just going to be so happy to not be around nothing but Kings players. Like, it'll be the first time that he'll just be like,
yeah.
So I think we're going to get a spirited performance out of him. At the mm-hmm. same time, I am so eager for the rest of the world to really discover how talented Towns is, the big cat. Oh my,
really good.
Goodness. Like Porzingis is a lot of fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Cat is the rookie of the year by a wide margin.
He's going to be so dominant in 2 or 3 years.
Right, exactly.
You know.
So like it's a stroke of genius to start allowing big men in here because, you know, this even, what do you want to say, 10 years ago? Disaster. Mm-hmm. 5 years ago, But Jahlil Okafor didn't make the cut. That dude's got moves like crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So, I wonder, because they keep changing the rules on this. Mm-hmm. Like, I think it was a race at some point, and then...
Yeah.
It was like individuals or whatever. So I don't know how they're going to do this. Are they going to do a race? Are they going to do individual times? I have no idea. And it's kind of cheating, right? If it's like individual times, because like, well, you know, they're not as fast as like an Isaiah Thomas, that sort of thing.
Well, I don't know, because like big men have like such gigantic strides. Like
that's true too.
Like
yeah.
the University of Iowa's men's basketball team, the fastest guy on the team last year. I don't know who it is this year, but the fastest guy last year was a guy named Gable Asheney who was 6'10". Hmm. And he beat everybody down the floor because, you know, his legs were 2 stories tall.
Okay.
So, like, that, if it comes down to a sprint, I think I'll take the big men. But in terms of, like, the side-to-side agility, I think that's where, you know, being a 5'9 Isaiah Thomas, gives you a little bit of a boost.
Which they're gonna do when they dribble around those guys that have to dribble around, basically.
Right.
So I'm waiting for Cousins for that one. 3-point shootout, which has pretty much been like the main event the last few years, or like the last decade, really.
Mm-hmm.
But like, James Harden, Chris Bosh, Klay Thompson, Stephen Curry, Kyle Lowry, JJ Redick, Chris Middleton, and Devin Booker. So who's your non-Curry pick?
Probably Klay, which is nuts.
It's kind of unfair that they're both on the same team, right? Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah. Klay sort of comes and goes. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think he's got sort of the biggest first-round bust potential out of the guys who have a realistic shot of winning, or at the very least, the guys not named Curry who have a realistic shot of winning. So, like, I could see that. I think your most reliable bet for getting to the second round other than Curry, what do you want to say? Is it Harden? It might be Harden.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's just got that, like, super easy stroke. And, like, I think that it's about as effortless for him mm-hmm. as it is for Curry.
Yeah.
Is my thought. Do you agree?
Because it's just a hop, right? It looks so easy for him. He just stands there and just hops and then puts it up and it's there. Like, it's... But then you can say the same thing about, like, guys like J.J. Redick. Like, I think he's going to be, you know, top tier potential as well. So, I don't know much of... I don't know Chris Middleton or Devin Booker or whatever,
yeah,
but...
Yeah,
I like the Splash Brothers. I like Harden. I like Redick in this. But, obviously, I guess my non-career pick would be Thompson as well. Mm-hmm. So...
Because he's the guy who can drop 37 and a quarter. Like, he's Klay Thompson, when he's hot, is a legitimate threat to Curry.
He's volcanic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. He's like, waits to explode, basically. So, there will be those times where he's even more on fire than Curry. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Right.
30, like, with, like, you just expect it sometimes from Thompson that he'll score a 25-point quarter.
Yeah.
Because I think he did that twice. Like, he had 37 one time, he had 26 and a quarter, like, last year as well. So, it's ridiculous. And then you have Curry. It's like, that's not even fair.
Yeah, in the first quarter, like, even last night against Houston, the first quarter, he wasn't bombing from deep. That ended up being Curry. But, like, in the first few minutes, Thompson was just taking mid-range jumpers, and those things weren't even drawing iron. And it's like, oh, he's heating up like that again. All right, let's go. And then Curry just decided, like, no, I'll take care of this supernova. Thank you, Clay.
I think Curry had 5 3-pointers in the first quarter.
He had 3 in a row. Like, I stepped away to, like, take something out of the oven. I'm not making this up. And then, like, 45 seconds later, like, and I've got the TV on loud enough because it's just in the other room. And so I hear, like, Curry for 3, yes, Curry for 3, oh, he's going to do it again, ah! And I'm like, damn it, I got to watch none of that, and it was 9 3-points.
Curry has 19 points in the first quarter, what? You know, it's ridiculous. Like, there are such appointment viewing.
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Somewhat Fundamental podcast.
This is James Harden. This song's for you, girl. I know you want to see this chest.
I know that you want me, cause I look the best. I wear my shirt open, so you see my chest. I know that you want me, cause I look the best. Let's go out for seafood, we'll have a trip fast. Girl, I notice you noticing me, so I came over so see me. I work so hard and to be with you. I share my heart and soul with only you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's all about me, girl.
Really quick, do you think the season has been kind of quote unquote boring because of how good the Warriors and Spurs have been?
A little bit of that. A little bit is also just, the injuries haven't helped.
Yeah,
that takes a big chunk out of it. And even the Cavs, the biggest thing going on with them is they fired their coach.
Yeah,
and like that's, I mean, it's. We had a lot to say about that, but that doesn't make the basketball any more fun to watch. And usually it's, a direct result of the fact that the basketball hasn't been good enough.
Yeah.
So, like, one, you can blame the Warriors and Spurs for being that much better than everybody else. And, like, I get that. But even if they, if they were both on pace for only 64 wins this year, it's not like anybody else has sort of taken up the slack. So, like, the Clippers are not there. The Rockets are not fun to watch. Just name a team with a superstar. The Pels, I thought this was going to be Anthony Davis, his year where he sprouts wings and just flies around the court.
We all did.
Right. Like, I don't know if I've told this on the podcast before. In my fantasy basketball league, I had the second pick, and I was upset that I didn't get Anthony Davis. I'm like, fine, I'll take Curry. But no, I was so eager because, Curry's average draft position was 1.2. And so I'm like, okay, clearly, the guy in front of me, he's taking Curry, and I'm going to get Davis. Yeah, baby. Yeah. And I didn't, and I was mad. So, like, all these teams that are, you expect to rely on great players, just not getting the job done this year. And there's only so many extra losses that the Warriors and Spurs have doled out that have pushed these teams down. At the end of the day, it's just nobody else is picking up their end of the bargain. So I think there's only so much blame that you can heap on the Warriors and Spurs for being good. Neither of them are in the East, but the East isn't playing super enjoyable basketball. I mean, it's a little fun, but nobody's, you know, coming out of that being like, oh my God, you need to watch this team in the East every time they play. You know, that's not going on. So don't blame the Spurs on this one. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Cause like the Warriors and Spurs are super fun to watch.
Super
in my view,
fun. You know? Yeah, that's the best part of it. It's not like this is the mid-90s where they're just like beating the hell out of everybody who, you know, walks in the lane and then you look up and the final score is 85-73. No. Like this is the way basketball, like from an aesthetic purpose, if nothing else, this is what you expect from the best basketball league on earth. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because even Cleveland, it's so much ISO, right?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the East teams are basically like pounded down and beat you up sort of thing. They've done that for like years and years and years.
Yeah.
You know, and West is up and down. So.
And here's Jimmy Butler taking 25 shots a game. And like I guess he's fun to watch, but he's hurt too!
Yeah!
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose. And mm-hmm. Pau Gasol is my dad, you know? He's getting up there.
Yeah, I do think Toronto's pretty fun to watch, though. They're the second best team in the East right now.
I would love to be able to watch them. I can't remember the last time Toronto's been on national TV.
Yeah, right? Like, it's so weird how the NBA has these games structured as national television. Like, the Lakers are always on.
Yeah, I think that's a huge part of it, too, is that there is so much national attention being heaped on Kobe and, I guess, the rest of the Lakers. But, like, enough that, you know, they put Lakers games on TV, and they are brutal.
Oh, they're awful. And I watch them every game.
No, yeah,
they're
right.
Awful.
Because you're going to see something where you're like, oh, my God, this is really a professional basketball league?
Yeah.
team. Like, really? Really? So, like, I think that when a bad team dominates so much of, or I wouldn't say dominate because it's not like they're, you know, the team on TV more than 50% of the time or anything like that. But when they have such an outsized proportion of the coverage and it's bad basketball, you're just like, that's too bad. Guess I don't get to watch good teams. And so then it clouds your judgment of the league as a whole because, you know, like the Raptors just operate in relative anonymity instead.
Great. Yeah, like we like to see the Pistons more.
Sure,
season, right?
Right. Like I enjoy the Pistons when I see them on highlights, and that's the only time I get to watch the Pistons ever.
Yeah. It's because like you know the guys that are complaining are basically like you know hardcore bloggers like you know, like me I guess like I watch every game or whatever, so they're kind of clouded by that too. Like oh my God, it's always Warriors and Spurs dominating. But when they don't realize that the casual viewers don't have league pass, it only sees like the Lakers.
Yeah.
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 So, when a Laker game is on ESPN, avoid it. Unless you want to hate watch them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And that happens. That happens.
Yeah.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. And some people do love to hate watch the Lakers. Like, they want to see them get creamed.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Like, take that, Kobe. Kobe.
And I get that. It's just horrible basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the team is structured, like, awfully. And the coach is incompetent. So, it's like...
It's a deeply cynical approach to basketball, I think. Like, nobody in L.A. will just come right out and say, Byron is tanking on purpose. And I know people who, like, think that, no. This, like, he's really trying, which, and I get that they are closer to the situation than I am, but it's like, this feels a whole lot like a tank. I hope we're doing this on purpose.
Here's the reason why I don't think it's a tank. It's because he still puts in guys like, they brought in veterans specifically to try to make the playoffs. He's trying to win. That's why he's sitting out D'Angelo Russell at times, and the clutch.
Right.
They're trying to win. They have Lou Williams, they have Roy Hibbert, they have Brandon Bass.
How do you put Lou Williams in over D'Angelo and then try to tell me with a straight face that you're trying to win? Lou Williams doesn't win you basketball games in 2016. That does not compute.
Because that's antiquated thinking. You know, Byron Scott still stuck in the 80s and the 90s.
Lou Williams was a baby in the 80s.
Yeah. But I mean, they were trying to make the playoffs, and unfortunately for them, it totally backfired. So, yeah. Anyway, 3 points shootout. I mean, sign the contest. We got off topic there again, but that's okay.
Let me ask you this.
Yes.
What is, like, way back when the 3-point competition started, it was, you know, back when the league, where nobody was a great 3-point shooter. Like, if you hit like 40% of it, everyone was like, whoa, Captain Sharpshooter here.
Right.
And like, as a result, the 3-pointer wasn't like part of the offense. And now it's like, you better be good at 3-pointers if you're shorter than 6'10". So like, I wonder what the competition would look like if it was limited to guys who attempt no more than 2 3-pointers a game. like if they were as untrustworthy, like, they don't have to be bad at it, but they have to be the sort of level of untrustworthy that basically everybody was in the NBA in the late 80s when all this got started. Because I feel like that would be a lot more fun to watch.
Let's say DeMar DeRozan. He doesn't shoot many threes.
That'd be, like, he'd be a pretty decent candidate. But at the same time, like, you'd just look up and be like, oh, 8 out of 25 for DeMar.
Yeah, he's like 31% or something like that. But he doesn't shoot more than 2 threes per game. So, probably going to be some Porzingis. How many threes does he shoot a game?
I thought that there was a point early in the season where he was making more than 2 a game. Because, like, Tom Haberstroh was on SportsCenter saying that, like, nobody had that combination of blocks and 3-pointers made, like, ever. Not just, like, rookies, but, like, ever in the NBA. So I think he's got a pretty decent amount. But I don't know, maybe they backed off of him. But, or, like, 2 is a very arbitrary number.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now. So give me a second here. Yeah, 3 3-pointers per game. Which is, 35%. Yeah. 3.2 3-pointers per game.
Attempts or makes?
Attempts.
Oh, yeah. I was going to like, no, Adam, he doesn't shoot 10 threes a game.
Yeah, that's like only one person that does that in the league.
Right.
Yeah. And he's got the green light. Like, oh, my God. Like, I never knew that, like, Stephen Curry could have, well, he obviously deserves it, but... You know, only one guy back in the 90s got that green light, and it was Dan Majerle. When he would shoot from, like, 30 feet.
Yeah.
No problem. You know?
Did you read the story about Curry that came out today by Pablo Torre?
Yeah, about the ankles, right?
Yeah! Which is fascinating. I never, like, I knew that he had ankle problems back in the day. And I knew that they were bad enough that they sort of... One, that they threatened to derail his NBA career, and two, that they're the reason why he's only making, what, $11 million a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I didn't realize that it was basically this is probably a make or break surgery for his entire career.
Right. He's had so many ankle injuries over his first 3 years of his career. It was ridiculous. And, you know, it's like we would always hear it. Oh, Curry hurt his ankle. What, again?
Mm-hmm.
Really? You know? And then when they got the contract of, like, $11 million a year, I'm like, I get it. You know? It's a health risk. You know? Mm-hmm. So I totally get that. And now he's, like, the most underpaid player in the league.
Yeah. Like, that's just going to be a thing with him. So
we all thought that,
right? But I never was under the situation where, or under the assumption that it was he's about to be out of the league if this doesn't work. I wasn't aware of that part.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and what do you think of Curry coming into the league? Like, I always thought, oh, he's going to be nice, you know, like JJ Redick, I guess, sort of guy, you know?
Yeah,
like he'll.
Yeah, I would agree. I didn't get the sense that he was a superstar in the making. Like, I couldn't have told you the difference coming out of college that Curry's career and Jimmer Fredette's career would have had. or Kemba Walker.
Yeah.
Like, okay, these guys can bomb, and they can get their shot off pretty quick. You know, good luck against NBA defenses, pal.
I remember watching all three of those guys have like deep runs in the NCAA tournament because of their talent, and thinking like, oh, well, I'm watching a lottery pick, but you know, like mid lottery, you've got about a 30% chance of being a star. That's about it. At no point was I thinking this guy's going to take over the league because he's like what six? He's listed at 6'2", but yeah. And you know, looks like he weighs like a buck 50. None of them really look like what superstars in the NBA have ever looked like. It's like, especially when you grow up watching them in the 80s and 90s and you know, even the 2000s. Like, yeah, I guess like Tim Hardaway wasn't super tall, but like those guys were built. And so now like Curry is 190. I'm like a super jacked 190 at that. But like none of them look like, you know, future MVPs or Hall of Famers.
Yeah, exactly.
And so if you would ask me coming out of Davidson, is Steph Curry ever going to be an All-Star? I probably would have said 3-1 no.
Yeah.
You know?
I was all thinking, oh, he's gonna be a nice, oh, coming off the bench, sixth man, you know? Like, he'll start out as a starter, but maybe at best, like maybe Jamal Crawford or something.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
Yeah. He'll be a good scorer for the first few years, and then he'll know his role, he'll be a sixth man. Well, he obviously knows his role now.
Right.
Yeah, so, okay, dunk contest, we have Andre Drummond, Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon, Will Barton. It's a good crop, I think.
Yeah, I think Drummond is sort of up against a wall in that whenever a 6'11 guy dunks, it's never amazing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter how ferocious it is. Like, unless he breaks the rim, people are going to be like, well, that was a big man dunking. Okay. And like, it doesn't have to be Nate Robinson.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's only so much that a sweet vertical can do for you when you're 6'11 and the rim is 10 feet tall.
Did you like Blake Howard's participation back then?
I did. I thought it was fun. It was, it was cute. And, like, the way he incorporated the cupcake. I thought the cupcake was a super like fun and
Gerald Green. Yeah,
oh, was Gerald cupcake. Green the cupcake?
Yeah, Gerald Green the cupcake.
But like Dwight Howard, like, he stuck the sticker up there, right?
Yeah, the sticker.
That was cool. Like you have to do something that points out just like how high you were jumping, and a 10-foot rim doesn't do you that much good if you're that tall.
Yeah. JaVale McGee was also a recent participant, and he dunked 3 basketballs in L.A. on 2 rims.
That was fun, as well.
I thought that was cool, yeah. I was there live, so
lucky.
That was really cool to see in person. Yeah, it's in L.A., so. Yeah, Aaron Gordon, also another big guy, too, 6'10". So,
Aaron
two
Gordon
big guys.
6'10"?
Yeah, he's a power forward, yeah.
I had it in my head that he was like 6'7", 6'8". Huh, wow.
Yeah, so we have two big guys. Will Barton and Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine, obviously, like I want to see more from Zach LaVine. He was awesome last year. Although I can't help but think, like, well, he did like 3 between the legs dunks. I want to see more variety.
Right, right. Like, let's get some props up in here.
Yeah, exactly. Like I mentioned last year that, well, he's basically doing like an NBA Live 06 contest here because it feels like that's where he got most of those dunks from.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I like to see more from Zach, and I have no idea what Will Barton can do. I will research that later. But speaking of Will Barton, like, he's had a hell of a year for Denver.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Yeah. And sixth man of the year type year. You gotta appreciate that.
Possibly most improved player, too. Possibly.
Sure.
So, yeah, so good for him that he'll get more exposure in a dunk contest. And usually when you're in a dunk contest, like, If you win, you'll get some kind of shoe deal or whatever. So it's good to have some exposure in the dunk contest. So I guess that's basically for All-Star Weekend. I'm mostly gonna be watching the Saturday's events, and I will probably begrudgingly watch the All-Star game. You know,
right?
Yeah, and Rising Stars, I'll probably just look at the highlights.
Fair
because
enough.
That's how I've always been. So
I did a little bit of research while we've been doing this, and so. Among players who qualified for the minutes per game leaderboard,
who shoot between 0.5 and 2 3-point attempts per game. So, like, narrowing out the outliers here.
Okay.
There are 15 players who average 40% or more in the NBA.
Okay.
Jonas Jerebko is your leader at 44%. And he only takes 1.1 a game, which seems like a mistake. And Boston should think about fixing that. Pau Gasol is number 4.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And at number 12, our man, Boris Diaw.
Yes.
Hitting 40.4%. So, like, give me this 3-point contest, because I have no idea who would win it. Trey Lyles. I didn't know that Trey Lyles actually had a decent outside jumper, finally.
Right. So, yeah, that would be fun. It'd be, of course, like, back in the 80s, that's how many points it would take anyways, like, super games. So.
Right. So, give me back to that environment and not the guys who, you know, go out there for warm-ups and just drain 30 straight corner threes to start the whole thing. Steph, I'm looking at you. Like, at that point, it's not difficult. So, like, give me some guys for which there's at least a nominal amount of difficulty here. That's what I want.
Yeah. I mean, Stephen Curry makes draining 33 points so easy. And I think it was last year where he drained 79 straight or something like that.
That sounds about right. Yeah.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah. So, like, that's not... give me some challenge. It has to be actually challenging, right?
Anyway. Yeah. Yeah, put someone in front of him or something.
Yeah. See, yeah.
Actually, he might be better at
that. You're like, now I'm in my zone.
Yeah, exactly. Are you going to miss the Shooting Stars?
Because
they took that event out.
I wouldn't say miss it. No, you know, I take that back. I thought it was always sort of like a kitschy amount of fun. You know, about the same lines as, you know, just people screwing around and playing horse.
Yeah.
Like, but that's fun. You know, like, I like the things that are difficult and totally chancy and, you know, require some amount of luck, but, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, some skill goes into it. It's not like you've got some schmoes up there just wearing jerseys. You know, we're talking about, you know, WNBA players and legends. And like,
yeah.
I like them all, like, intermixing and stuff like that. Like, it's not the most important thing that ever happens at an All-Star game, but it's, you know, it's nice, light fun, which, I mean, I think the NFL needs more stuff like that. And it's All-Pro weekend instead of, like, actually asking these players whose seasons would otherwise be over to, like, go out there and hit each other. Like, there's a reason why nobody actually wants to play in the Pro Bowl. They'll just take the roster bonus and then be like, oh, no, I'm injured. One, because they probably are, because, you know, after 17 weeks of football, you're like, I just want to sleep for a month.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, it's just do some, like, weird, funky, like, contests, and like, they don't even have to be, like, difficult. Just, like, who can throw a football in a garbage can from 65 yards the quickest? You know, just, like, do that. Don't make these guys hurt each other. So, like, that's, I didn't mind that the NBA did that at all.
You know what I want to see now is an intergenerational three-point shootout. Like, I want to see WNBA versus NBA, although I'm not sure how far the WNBA 3-point line is, but I think that'll be fun.
Yeah, like, there'll be people be like, well, they've got smaller balls, but the rim is the same size. Like, I've heard this complaint before. And so, like, there's always going to be people that complain whenever, you know. I mean, really what they're complaining about is that a woman might beat a man. I mean, like, I think that would be fun. Because it's not like they can't shoot threes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on. Yeah, yeah, I think that would be fun. I think that'd be cool.
Yeah. And a little bit of personal backstory here. You know why I started liking the game? Because my sister played the game. That's why I love playing it.
Really?
Yeah, it was my sister, because she was so good in shooting when I was little. So,
there you go.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So,
Jeff has a really great sister.
Yeah. Thank you, Gina. So
this is Rowan with BuzzFeed Sports, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast. We're living together.
last thing, we don't talk about much about wrestling much here, and I know you watch wrestling.
Occasionally, yeah. I don't tweet about it because I have way too many people who don't want to hear about it at all. Mm-hmm. And I catch some of that noise every time I tweet about it. So
it's weird because it's like, why can't you just tweet about, you know, whatever you want? I mean, not just me, so, you know, but anyway, I just want to touch on the Daniel Bryan situation really quick. And, you know, 34 years old, still really young, mm-hmm. and he has to retire from the thing that he loves because of concussions. Yeah. And this is really serious, man. Like a lot of people are like, oh, but it's just that. Like, dude, this guy might Chris Benoit if he keeps going.
Yeah, yeah. I appreciated him saying, yeah, I had 3 concussions my very first year, or whatever it was, first 18 months,
yeah.
or whatever.
Yes.
Like, so he's cognizant of the fact that these are building up quickly. Mm-hmm. And then he mentioned on SportsCenter that he was having post-concussion seizures.
That is so frightening.
Right. So, like, this isn't just a matter of just, I'm just going to be careful about this. Like, oh, no. His brain is teetering on the edge right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, always come out, you know, in the coming days and weeks. Oh, by the way, so and so suffered a concussion during the match, mm-hmm. and like 99% of the time, they still finish because they are insane and professionals. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. like, if that happens to him, and the odds are pretty good, you know, if you wrestle enough matches that it's going to happen again, you know, he might not get up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, at some point you just have to, you know, just look after yourself, because there's no point in dying in the ring. What?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's, everybody likes to sort of romanticize pro wrestling and the, you know, the sacrifice, that these guys make and you know, and all of that, but, you know, he's, like he said, he's a young guy, and, like, he even said, yeah, you know, we want to have kids one day. Mm-hmm. And he turned that into a sex joke, which, hello, Mr.
Yeah.
Legend. I'm not even upset about that. Like, the man is married. Like, he's allowed
yeah.
to say that.
Yes, yes.
So, but, like, you know, you just have to sort of take care of yourself. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, he's able to walk away from this with his health. And from what mm-hmm. I understand, they've been super frugal. CM Punk was sort of the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But he was, you know, sort of able to walk away mm-hmm. for that very reason too. But like, this is sort of the point. Like, this is the, I mean, it's sad for everybody. It mm-hmm. made him cry, and it was a situation forced upon him. But, like, dude, you're 34. You get to walk away with your brain, you know, working about as well as you can ask it to, because he was lucid up there. And I never got the feeling that he was permanently addled at this point.
Yeah.
I'm happy for him that he had the career that he did. And I'm happy for him that he gets to walk away. And I'm
yeah.
happy for him that he gets to, you know, have a family and start something new. And if he gets to have, like, some sort of on-screen role with WWE in the coming, you know, years and stuff, just, I don't know, like, he's probably not a good commentator. But maybe he is. But, you know, just somebody that you can trot back out every, like, 2 or 3 times a year, and he can, you know, just do that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, congratulations. Like, you have finished a successful career, and you're not dead, and I don't think that you're going to end up dead in the next 5 years because of painkiller abuse, because you pushed your body too far. The whole point of him walking away is that he didn't push it too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's one of the few guys that actually crossed the mainstream.
Mm-hmm.
The Yes chant is, like, being done in sporting events, you know, that crossed over, and he's super popular.
Super.
Because he's so relatable, you know, like, he's basically us wrestling, you know what I mean? Like, he's 5'8", 190, 200, whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty much us right there.
So, yeah, and the other thing is that, like, he's making us so much more aware of what concussions can do. Because it's still a sensitive issue. We still don't know much about it. And I'm just glad that we're getting more educated about it the more he talks about it. So
yeah, exactly, because, you know, like you said, the alternative here is, you know, it's sort of Benoit. And, and when you don't get the opportunity to discuss your symptoms, when people are just sort of left to pick up the pieces in the wake of your destruction and you don't speak for yourself, then there's only so much that we can learn about, you know, what these guys are going through. And so for him to put a, you know, smiling, talking, you know, explaining conversational face on this problem, like, oh, now I get it. You know, he can put these emotions in other people's minds in a way that, you know, would be impossible otherwise.
Yeah, because, you know, back then, like, the manly thing was to hide your injuries or hide your symptoms because, you know, we're going to be professionals, we're going to be tough, we're going to be manly, put on a face, put on a facade, think everything's all right, and we're superhuman, you know? Mm-hmm. But now it's like we got to realize that after all of this, it's still a show, and they're still human beings.
You know what's messed up, though?
What?
Pro wrestling, these independent contractors get their brain health taken more seriously there than in the NFL.
Right. Yeah. And I commend WWE for holding out Daniel Bryan for so long. Because
I thought,
oh my goodness, it's like they're just trying to hold him down because he's super popular or whatever, or some kind of conspiracy or whatever. But no. They held him out since April, and he basically only wrestled like 2 months in the last 2 years because they know he's hurt, and they know they can't take chances on those concussions. Concussions are no joke.
Yeah.
Okay? I've had 7 in my life, you know, and I don't want any more.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, good for Daniel, and hopefully he'll have, you know, just live long and prosper, you know, so, yeah. You had a long, long podcast, but, you know, it was a really well-done podcast. And, Adam, go ahead and, you know, plug your stuff, social media, sites, all that stuff.
Yeah, I do my writing at blackheartgoldpants.com. So for the thousands, if not millions, of Iowa fans who listen to this and have not discovered the website, you should go now. And I'm also on Twitter at Adam_Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-I.
Yep, and you can find me on Twitter at The No Look Pass. Go find my website at thenolookpass.com. I also do another podcast for TJRWrestling.net with my good friend John Cannon, and my condolences to John Cannon, whose father passed away a couple days ago. So,
sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but... yeah, and that's where we'll end it, and we will talk to you after the All-Star break. Thanks, guys.
Success is just failure. That hasn't happened yet.
And that's life advice from Latrell Sprewell.
Game over, yeah!
Molded.